is We Have Thoughts. I'm Anna.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Joy.
And we're deep into our Conversations with Oscar series. We're so excited to be talking about A Promising Young Woman, directed by and written by Emerald Fennell, starring Carey Mulligan, Bo Burnham, and a host of other beautiful soft boys. It's been nominated for Best Picture, Best Actress Carey Mulligan, Best Director, Original Screenplay, and Film Editing for Frederick Thorvald. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but congratulations to you, sir.
Shout out.
Yeah, let's dive in. I want to first talk about that opening shot of her, where she's on that booth and she's like mimicking Christ on the crucifix. Oh my God.
There's imagery like that throughout the movie, and it's phenomenal.
There's at least three shots like that. And of that shot, there's also like the opposite shot of her on her bed when she's watching, she's Googling on Facebook or something on her computer, and her bed frame mm-hmm. or the whatever, the headboard mimics angel wings. And there's like two other times that it does that too.
It's beautiful.
But I just love that establishing shot, like this is what we're doing, this is where we're going. I love it.
Also, I love that Charlie XCX song plays Boys.
That's a great song.
Good, but I love it.
What a good soundtrack.
That music video is great. Because all she did is bring all the internet boyfriends into one video. Like, Riz Ahmed is in it. It's great. Yeah, like a Brendan Urie.
I've never seen this.
Internet boyfriends are going to go living. Yeah, it's great. Charlie XCX. She's wonderful. Yeah, first of all, this is Emerald's first full-length movie. Bravo.
Snaps to you, girl.
I get okay.
Snap, crackle, and pop.
All three.
Okay.
I love the color palette of this movie. I love the colors.
I loved the use of colors juxtaposed to the horror soundtrack.
Yeah.
The use of a horror soundtrack was so smart and genius, and I like could not get over it. I was obsessed the entire time. Every time it came on, I was like, yes.
Also, I think like in general, this movie could be described as smart and intelligent. It was a lot of the choices it was making, but the movie was making were so. It was just like I just was blown away by how good this movie was. Clearly, we liked it. If you can't tell, we're a spoiler podcast. You didn't know.
It's really interesting the what it's saying visually with what it's saying textually, because everything is so like rich and bubblegum and pastel and light and bright and airy, and the content and the really what the movie is about is not that at all. So I like that it was like trying to entice you so that you would be able to really receive what it was telling you.
Yeah, because everything they're saying, those guys like Adam Brody and everything they're saying is so triggering. Like it makes me so uncomfortable. Like
I like sunk into my seat. I was like, I am hurt. Ouch.
Although it's really funny because whenever the very first shot of like all like the guys' asses, right? Hilarious. It makes me think of when they cut down the music of Boys and you see them like dancing in the dance floor. It reminds me of when we went to this wedding, and it was all like business people. And it was hilarious because like they were like clearly blowing off some steam, but it was very corny dancing. Bless their hearts. But that's exactly what I thought of. I was like, oh, it's like the wedding. There's a lot of people here. That's great. Wonderful.
I think the casting choices were really, really funny and really on point. And I know that Emerald has talked about that, picking those like sort of quote unquote nice guys, those nice guy actors that have played roles where they're just like sweet, unassuming dudes that just like are nice to girls and are just technically good boyfriends. I thought that was perfect because that's how patriarchy works, is that men, regardless of how nice or how not nice or how volatile you are, I know we've said this before, but all men benefit from bad men. Mm-hmm. Even if you say you're a nice guy, you're still benefiting from the fact that oh, well, I'm not a rapist, so I must be a nice guy. That, no, you don't get points for doing what you're not supposed to do.
And you don't get points for doing the bare minimum.
Exactly. The bare minimum.
Yeah, because we're so used to men being this, like, hostile being. So when someone is nice and they're not that way, you're like, oh, he's so great. He's so wonderful. He's perfect. He's the best. No, he's just normal. And we should.
Is he?
We're so. But I mean, right. Like, we're us as, like, women are so, like, we're so used to just them
accepting
being,
the bare minimum.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well,
and.
All right.
And it's gotten to the point now where, I mean, I am very inexperienced flirter, so maybe I shouldn't
wait,
be speaking.
Wait, what about the guy Kroger?
Oh, yeah.
What?
The guy's drive-thru.
What drive-thru?
What was it, like, Humble Bucks, right?
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
And then the Kroger guy who was trying to flirt with you while you were getting groceries, like, 2 years ago.
Girl, don't remember that.
Yesterday.
But... it's gotten to the point now where if a guy is nice to you, so many people mistake that for flirting. It's like, oh, no, he was just being a nice person.
Right.
That's how skewed our view is of conversations with men.
Yeah. And then vice versa. Like, if a woman is nice to you, it's just being generally polite. A
she's
lot
asking
of assume
for
that
it.
She's flirting with you. She wants to get with you. When that's not necessarily the case.
It's never true. Just so you know.
Yeah. If you think of ask, hey, are you flirting with me? And if they say yes, then okay, go ahead. Go flirt away.
Yeah,
if they say
you,
no,
9 times out of 10, they
it's
don't
not.
Want you. I promise you.
It's not.
Even 10 times out of 10, they don't want you.
I love that line. There's so many good lines in the movie. I was going to say the show, in the movie, where, oh, what's his name? Not Adam Brody, the second one.
Huh?
The one who was in Superbad?
Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
Him. Where he was like, I'm a nice guy. And she says, you keep saying that. And I'm like, I don't think you know what that means.
Ooh,
so it was a nice little like check to him.
I was expecting something even a little darker when I first started watching the movie from the trailers and from looking at it. I thought she was going to be killing these dudes or like actually harming them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little surprised when it was just her, like, confronting them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think ultimately that it paid off way better than if she was slicing them up.
It's easy to, and I think I have this note here. It's so smart. Like, it's so easy just to hurt them and to, like, physically, like, to kill them, break their bones, whatever. But she is making them fear, you know, making them understand, like, what you're feeling is what I feel all the time. You know, and I think that's so much more smarter because that's the best way to get inside their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. And I think because then technically she didn't hurt you. Technically, she didn't do anything illegal or wrong towards you. So you can't like, there's no way that you can, there's not really a way that they could be like going to the police or like go report her or whatever. Because what did she do? She went home with you.
Also,
because
were they
going to
say, oh,
go
she
home
scared
with
me?
You.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. I have a note here that says, I didn't look this up because I forgot, but are there still golf clubs that don't let women play?
I feel like there probably are. Let's be real. It's America.
Yikes, man. I wouldn't be surprised, but I would be surprised at the same time. Mm-hmm. Also, the Uber driver that takes Adam Brody and Keira Mulligan, he's got some taste. He's playing Spice Girls. So, good job, Uber driver.
Speaking of the Uber Java,
I've never been to Uvu Java.
I like how, and Cassie does this throughout the different parts of the movie, everyone who was in some form, some way, shape, or form complicit with what happened to her friend, what happened to Nina, all has to deal with her wrath in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Uber driver sees that something sketchy is going on when Adam Brody's taking this girl home. And then he's like, no, change the address. Let's go to my place instead. And he's like, let's go have a cup of drinks. And then the Uber driver is clearly seeing that she is fucking trashed. And like, she's not coherent. And you can see there's that moment where he like wants to say something or wants to be like, kind of interject and stop him. But he doesn't. So he's also complicit.
I'm not a drinker. I don't drink. So, like, the idea of, like, oh, you're super drunk. Do you want another drink? It doesn't make sense to me. I don't.
It's a creepy, pervy man trick.
And then what was that? Kumquat liqueur? What the hell is that?
Yeah.
That sounds weird as hell.
Yeah, it was like orange or something.
It was too orange. It looked like this orange, this little thing here.
It looked like Fanta. Like orange Fanta. Yes, it looked like
Fanta. On the irony of him telling her, you okay, you're safe, you're fine. Oh, God. Ugh. So gross. Ugh.
The amount of times that I like cringed and just was like, ow, 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 during this movie is ridiculous.
I think one of, if you take no other lessons from this, young girls, I hope you take a lot from it, but like, I like after she's done with Adam Brody and she's just walking down the street and it was like, those
guys, the construction worker guys,
they like catcalling her and she just stares at them. She doesn't say anything and they get so uncomfortable. And I love that. Young girls, please do that. Okay. Be careful. But you know that you can do that. What else? I'm just working at a coffee shop. That beautiful, like, gold espresso machine behind him. Ugh, I was like, I want to touch that. I want to make a coffee on that so bad. Damn. Ugh.
I love that that's what stuck out to you. Ooh, the coffee table. Like, oh,
I want to play with that. Maker.
I want to touch that.
Literally, I was like, uh-huh.
That is so funny.
Because if I have, like, to have a job for money and, like, you know, well-being, I would totally work a coffee shop all day. Because I loved it. I loved it so much. But it's not enough money to, like, you know, live. Survive. So.
Okay. Yikes. I did love seeing Laverne Cox in, like, her little coffee shop area. I was like, oh, my God, yay. Because I haven't seen her in too many other things after Orange is the New Black, other than, like, when she did Rocky Horror. And then this... And so I was like, good. I want to keep seeing her in more things.
Same with Bo Burnham. I love him so much. And I thought he was so great in this movie. I want to see him in more. I want him to do more movies too, like write and direct or whatever. Because Eighth Grade was so good.
Were you a fan of him on YouTube?
No, I never really watched his YouTube. I was a fan of him on Vine.
Oh, okay.
Anything for you, Beyonce?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Artist art.
That's like the only time that I had ever seen him, because I'd never seen any of his like stand up or any of his shows or anything like that. But I know a lot of people really like him, and I thought it was funny because just like the people's idea of him is definitely not, it's definitely like what the movie was trying to tell you, like at first, like, oh, he's a good guy, he's a good boyfriend, la la la. I feel like he kind of fit that. From what I know of other people and how they like him, that seemed to be a good fit for him.
I found out he's dating the director of Hustlers, so you know.
What?
Yeah, they're dating.
Oh my God, talent.
She's like 10 years older than him or something like that.
Love that. Good job. Good for you.
also, Carey Mulligan she's my favorite actress, by the way, anyone who cares to know. I love her very much, but I also hate her because she made me want bangs this entire fucking movie. Things, Carrie. Hate them the second I get them. It's like, but they're so cute on you.
Her hair was so cute. God, her hair was so pretty. I was like, damn it, I just need to buy a wig and just fucking get over
you
it.
Have a wig. Your Daenerys wig. Or no.
The Cersei wig.
The Cersei wig, yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the bangs and it's not that blonde.
Wait, what about your Cher wig that you wore for Halloween that one year?
That one has like pink in it. And also I want bangs too, so.
I will get them and I hate them immediately. I'll be like, clip. Oh, damn. That's what will happen.
Buy some good clip-ins.
You know what? That's what you need to do.
I haven't thought about that in a long time. Okay.
Oh my God. Going back to, what's his name? Christopher?
Mintz Plasse?
That one. I wrote him down as second garbage guy.
That's what he's billed as too in the credits.
I was like, he basically was a checklist of all the shitty things that men say to try to make a girl feel better, to make them feel like you're not like other girls. You don't need that much makeup. I just want to see your pretty face. Blah, 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 blah. Disgusting. Also, why wouldn't I want to be like other girls? Other girls are great. They're fucking great, okay?
All right.
Oh,
Okay.
She says that. She's sitting next to two other girls.
I didn't say you two.
Anyways, girls are great.
We talking about Bono?
Bono?
You two?
Thank you.
But I'm...
I made it a point to write down some names. So, real quick. The production designer, Michael Perry. Fantastic. Art director, yeah. Liz. Forgive me if I screw this up. Klockzowski. Set director, Ray Deslich. All of them deserve all of the praise and all of the award because I was blown away by those three. Yes.
Speaking of other side characters, your uncle, Alfred Molina.
My uncle!
What a random little insert there. I thought that was so great. Also, he's just really talented too.
He did call me and tell me he enjoyed working with Carey Mulligan. Yeah, so maybe we'll get him on the pod to do like an interview.
Can he introduce me to Carey, who I love very much, and then I can hang out with her and Marcus Mumford, and then I can play with their kids, and I can be like a babysitter. Please, thanks.
I thought, since you were speaking of like art direction and production design, there's a really great touch in the back of Alfred Molina's house. You can see that his plants are dying.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was just like, what a great detail of like, yeah, he's suffering. He clearly is not taking care of himself or his shit. So like, I was like, yeah, that one little thing.
Yeah,
there's a story.
That's a small detail. I
love
like
that.
Yeah.
There's so many good shots in this.
Are we going to start with your list?
There's a lot of them. I'm almost surprised that it wasn't nominated for cinematography, but I've still only seen one of the cinematography noms, so I'm not sure yet. I'm working on it.
I think her exchange with Bo Burnham when he meets her, meets her again for the first time at the coffee shop is so cute.
The spitting in his coffee?
What? Like, he's really funny with her. And I'm like, she's like, okay, and she just spits it, and he's like, oh, okay. Like, all that exchange is really good. Also, can someone witty like me, please?
So you can spit in their coffee?
Yeah, come on, let's go!
I can say something right now, but I won't.
Yeah, no, their banter was...
Their banter, there's
A+.
They had really good chemistry.
I'll tell you what, this Pico the Guy was going on too long. That's what's happening. That's what's happening.
What?
This Pico the Guy was going on too long.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's what's happening.
So everyone's looking attractive now.
Whatever. Anyways. I love when she's the scene of her on her bed and her computer screen is open and it's dark. And then the flashing of the photo montage.
Mm-hmm.
Her, and then it's dark and see her again. I loved that sequence. That was so good. So good.
The house, the set decoration of the house was so
realistic.
It was so peculiar because, like, who has a house like that? I mean, I know there's people like that, but it was just done so well. It was like over the top without being too much.
Yeah.
But also being way too much. And for it to be Jennifer Coolidge,
like
amazing.
Of course, it has to look like that.
Amazing.
A little quirky with color. Quirky color.
A little quirky, a little like...
She thrifts a lot, you know?
Yes, it looks very thrifted.
She goes thrifting every weekend. So I guess we'll go to... she has lunch with Alison Brie.
Oh, that was so good.
And that scene is so great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That exchange is really great. Same with the men that she encounters. She's going to instill some fear in Allison because she's like, listen, you need to know what's going on, how I felt. She's like, oh, I really wish you would have changed your tune by now, but I guess not.
That was so fucking insulting, first of all, to even tell her that. And just be like, I thought you would have, you know, grown up by now, you stupid bitch.
And then she's like, when Allison Brie's like, oh, you don't have any kids? And she's like, no. And then Allison Brie's like, oh, you'll get there.
Fuck you.
No, maybe she doesn't want to. Do you ever think of that?
Lily, you haven't talked to her in years. How do you know her?
Exactly.
Like, you don't know her.
Anyways.
Also,
I love the look when Allison Brie's like, oh, can we have another one? And then the waiter goes, he's like this. He's like, great. I loved it. The little thing I caught the second time.
Also, in that scene, the lighting. Yes. Joy, did you write this down about the red? Mm-hmm. It was just the red light right around them,
yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of. I didn't write that down, but I remember it.
Natural light. Their background was very dark. And, like, they were the only thing mm-hmm. that was lit there. Yeah, it was shot so interestingly. Okay. Can I go through a shot list?
You ready for the shots?
Okay. Shots. I really would like an actual shot right now. That'd be great. Okay, so we've already touched on it, but Cassie has three different shots where her arms are outstretched as if she's Jesus on the cross. The first one was in the club, like we said. The second one was where she's laying on Adam Brody's bed, and it's a shot from overhead. And then...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One more. Spoiler, at the very end, when the thing happens and the pillow is over her face, she is in that position again. Ouch. Did I miss any? Are those all of them? I think those are right. There is a shot through the pastry counter, through the glass, looking at Cassie's phone and all her missed calls.
So good.
Oh,
genius.
The layers. Yeah. I love that. The shot, the one that really sticks out to me, the shot of Cassie in front of the blue circle. There's articles that have been written about it, comparing it to like Mary Magdalene and mm-hmm. the halo. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I forget the specific words. Art history. I need to remember that. The other shot when she looks like an angel is when Cassie's sitting on the couch watching the video. The couch behind her looks like wings because it has those little arches. And I think that's all I've got.
Beautiful.
The close-ups of Cassie at the bachelor party. Oh my God, the close-ups of her and the guys at the bachelor party. It was like, it just kind of like shifted tone. It really was kind of like a music video because you've got these like really, really intense close-ups of her and the guys and all of that. The way that was edited, good job editing. That should look great. It was very deceiving and I like that. All right.
Okay. Next. My next note is about the scene with the dean or the whatever her name is. What is her name? The actress?
Connie Britton.
I keep forgetting her stupid name. Connie Britton. Beautiful.
Hair of a goddess.
Okay. Okay. This, first of all, she says we get accusations like this once or twice a week. What? Once or twice a week?
How's that supposed to make her feel better? Like,
that's a problem. How
that
do
makes
I
me feel
that?
Worse.
For some reason, I thought in my head, I thought like once or twice, like every so many months. A week? What? Oh, God. Again, another instance where she instills some fear in her. It's the most effective way to get to her, to get her to understand where she's coming from, how she's feeling. My next note is, ew, men are gross, but that could be for the whole movie, so I don't really know what that's about. But yeah, that scene is so good.
The way the tension is built in that, because like the dean clearly doesn't remember her, and so with each question you see it just like pushed up a level more, and then the way Cassie talks to her mm-hmm. is really the way Carey Mulligan is acting that she's just like so sweet and so innocent and so cute. And like, the things that she's saying are not that.
She's chewing gum in that scene, right? Mm. Like, she's very nonchalantly, like, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that was, like, chills. Like, literal chills.
Yeah, that was probably for, like, the scene where I was like, oh, okay, this is, whatever happened, this is going to get nominated. Because that was so good. I could feel, like, my heart beating so fast after that. It was great.
Again, another movie that's very stressful, but like
watching it the second time, I feel like I could enjoy it a little bit more just because I knew what was gonna happen. Because I think I was like holding my breath though mostly the entire time, like, oh my God, it's gonna happen. What's this gonna do? What's this gonna do? okay, can we go to arguably the best scene of the entire movie? The stars are blind scene.
Bitch, I am a sucker for that stupid Stars Are Blind fucking song by Paris Hilton. It's on my Spotify. I do listen to it on the regular because it is just so fucking good.
It should have been the intro song.
Damn it.
I was like so surprised when that came on. I'm so happy. This shit is so cute. I loved it. It was great. I don't remember the words. I have to relearn them. It's been forever. Do you know what they're doing?
I think I just found a good subgenre to describe this movie. It's a horror rom-com.
Ooh. Interesting.
The only horror I will watch.
The only rom-com I'll watch.
And horror.
I'd rather someone die than be happy, I guess.
Let's unpack that.
Again.
Oh, man.
I'm
going to move off my way out of here.
But yeah, because there's the romance between Carey Mulligan and Bo Burnham was so sweet, and it was so great to watch. They had such great chemistry. You could see her healing slowly and learning to let things go and to move on and be happy with where she is. But then, like, it all comes back. Like, she gets that video and everything changes, and we circle back to the first act, the horror of the first act, and it ramps it up a notch or two, maybe even three. And everything changes. And I think horror rom-com, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
I love it.
The screenplay did a really good job of being like, look, everything's so soft and cute and romantic, and it's like they're having cereal in bed. Like, it's
everything's so gonna be okay.
Yeah. And it just, the tonally everything changes, and it just goes like airy and bright and cute. And yeah, then it's just like the pfft.
Also, he's 6'5". Oh my god, that's wild. Someone that tall, I don't, like, how do you just hit like branches of trees all the time? Like, how do you work, live your life, man? Dang. Anyway, sorry.
I lost my dream.
I'm sorry. I like whenever her dad's like, we really missed Nina, but god, have we missed you.
Ooh, I feel like that was actually like, I know he meant it as like a compliment, as a way to comfort her, but I think I didn't take it that way, because I was just like, it just doesn't sit right with me. I'm like, I don't know. Like, she's obviously still cares about Nina. Obviously she still misses Nina, and she's still like grieving, but she's, you know, healing. And like, I don't know. I think it goes back to like when, and her last scene when she's talking to Al, and she's like, when's the last time that anyone has said her name? When's the last time that anybody other than me has talked about her or has mentioned her in any way that's not associated with you and with this and this thing that happened? And like, there's no way to like disconnect. I mean, because obviously they were super close, and there's no way to disconnect that. And it's just like, I don't know. To me, it almost seemed a little bit negative. Because I'm like, yeah, it's good that she's getting better. It's good that she's getting better. But at the same time, it seems like she doesn't want to forget her friend.
No, that's what he says. He's like, we loved her as a daughter, and we miss her. We missed you too. And I think their attitude towards her the entire time is like, hey, how you doing? How's it going? Yeah, they're very like walking on like, maybe not eggshells, but they're very kind.
Tiptoeing.
Yeah, they're tiptoeing. They're very kind to her and genteel. And so it's like, I think he meant well. I don't think he meant anything like by it, but it clearly hit her the same way it hit you whenever he said that. Because she just kind of like, maybe like recoils a little bit. Mm-hmm. I saw it as like, oh, he really did miss her. But I can see your point, how it would. But I don't know unless you. It's just Kim showing like that he loved her and he missed her, and wants her to be engaged and happy and mm-hmm. not engaged like to him, but like engaging.
Or engaging in her life, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I just want her to be.
I mean, that's what everybody around her was kind of like pushing her to do, is be like, hey, you should go do this. Or her boss at the coffee shop was like, you should apply for this job and you should do this. And she's just like, no. Because she's so stuck in her, like, in her grief.
Yeah.
And that just hasn't, there's nothing really, I don't know, maybe it was still like, to her, no to amount her, of time seemed enough.
Yeah, it's like that fear of, if I move on, and as, you know, he told me, I miss her, but I missed you too. It's this, the only way for me and people around me to see that I've moved on is to forget her. But I'm not ready to do that.
Yeah, I think maybe that's more, that, thank you for the words, because I was like, I don't know how to put that together.
I got you.
Yeah, I can, yeah, that's what it felt like to me.
So this movie has been, its ending has been very divisive. I've read and heard a lot of interesting takes on it, how people are really into it. Some people hated it. Some people were thrown aback by it. A lot of different reactions. And I kind of like, okay, so the general consensus I get from these people who don't like it is that it wasn't satisfying. It wasn't entertaining. It was just too bleak. And I think that's kind of missing the point of the movie, personally. I think, like, if you think of movies where people get revenge, it's very, like, or like Kill Bill, for example. You know, there's lots of killing, there's bloodshed, there's murder. It's very, very much a lot. Whereas this, to me, is grounded in so much reality. I think it was too real for them, I think, is the point. I don't think they liked it was too real. Because everything that they're saying, everything that's been done, has happened in this world, in this planet. And it was just too much for people to take, I think. So in their head, they're like, oh, it was too bleak, or it was too sad, or it was the outcome was ridiculous. And
see,
I personally don't think it is. I just think it's too real.
I liked the ending, but I also feel like if they would have just left it with them, like, burning her, and then, like, them getting, and then maybe show the wedding, maybe even not, it would have been, that would have been my preferred ending.
Really?
Really?
I do like the fact that she got the last word, and she got them anyway. I love that. But that part felt a little more unrealistic to me.
Okay.
And it felt a little more slightly gimmicky. But maybe it would have been too dark. And I think I did read an interview with Emerald Fennell where she said we did leave it off there with her dying. But it was too dark, and they rewrote it and worked it to where she had talked to my uncle and had set up things beforehand so that she could get them and she would have the last word.
Yeah, like I feel with... Because when I first saw the movie, I was like, it can't end this way. It can't. Like, I was legit getting upset and wanting to cry. So I was like, no. This can't be it. Like, she can't. And I thought, wait, Cassie is far too smart to let it happen that way. She had to have some type of something in play. Because I don't know that she went to that party with the intention to die, but she prepared herself just in case. Because she says, like, in the case of my disappearance to that thing to Alfred Molina, like, this is the tape or the video, the phone, whatever, blah, blah, blah. She was prepared for whatever happened, but she knew it was going to be good, whatever it was. Not her death, though, I don't think.
I mean, right. Like, she's far too intelligent too. And clearly by the events of the whole rest of the movie, any man, she rightfully so knows how men are and knows what they're capable of. And so I know that, yeah, of course she had to have a plan in place because she knew, especially going to, I mean, even with like the tweet from earlier, it's like in a room, you're in a room with three men who are, what is it?
Who you trust,
yeah.
Who are those three men?
Yeah, exactly. These are clearly not those men. These are the absolutely the opposite.
Nick Winston and Schmidt.
These are absolutely the opposite of those men. These are men that you would never trust, and these are the men she tries to get to, like, turn their life around and, like, and steer the, instill the fear of God in them. And that's really just what she wanted to do. And so I don't think that she would have gone there not having thought about what the repercussions of that could be.
So do you think she would have killed him or hurt him?
I think she would have hurt him.
Just trying to cover Nina's name in his body, right?
That yeah, I don't think that she would have killed him.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think she would have gone to that extent, but I think that hurting him and, like, making him... because the idea of what she was trying to do is put her name on his body and just make him remember her for as long as he lives and make him feel some sort of repercussion, some sort of guilt, some sort of... anything consequence,
so he'll never forget it because she's right there
for what he did, because he has lived with no zero consequences. Exactly. He's gone on, he's got a medical job, he's getting married, you know, everything is
he's
fine.
He's getting married to a woman named Anastasia. How dare they. I would never.
So listen, girls, if you're gonna carve someone's name in a guy, make sure you knock him out first. Like, tell him what you gotta tell him, bitch, and then knock him out so he doesn't attack you. Carve the name, peace, and then leave. Just FYI.
I am one of those people that did not like the ending.
Ah, okay. Why?
I read somewhere, and I am so mad that I didn't bookmark it and I didn't save it, but someone made the comparison of this movie's ending with the ending of Get Out. So I don't know if you, I mean, obviously we watched Get Out, but I don't know if you guys know of the alternate ending to Get Out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remind me.
So the alternate ending, instead of his friend coming to pick him up and he gets away safe.
It would have been the police.
It would have been the police and he would have gone to jail and, you know, all of that stuff. So this to me kind of feels like the alternate ending. Now? Yeah. Because she didn't. One, she didn't survive. And then two, it's just like you. Okay, so she didn't make it. But then, like, there's no real justice.
And... That's life, girl.
No, and I know that. So that's my problem is that, like, the ending, the alternate ending of Get Out, Jordan Peele was like, no, that would have been too much like real life. And we've already suffered enough through this entire movie, and we know he's suffering, so we don't want to make it that way. And so I read an article that Emerald Fennell was like, no, I stand by it because it's more realistic. And I understand that. But I think that with the way the story was set up, it just... I wish it would have gone the other way, and I wish she would have at least made it out.
Oh.
Made it out.
I'm with you, but I would have been okay with it ending with her dying, because I feel like that's way more realistic. And if we're going to go there, let's go there. Men are going to get away with it. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
These white boys with all this money are going to be able to bury her, burn her, and never have to think about it again, because that's the way the world works. So if they would have left it at them burning her, and then the next shot, you see them getting married and everything's fine and dandy. That would have been way more realistic to me. And
true.
Like I said, if we're going to go there, let's go there. And then they had to put the sugar on it.
Yeah. The other thing was that, like, okay, so Alfred Molina has this information. Okay. So the cops show up and are arresting her for her murder. So we're going to leave it up to the law to convict and hold these men accountable when men have done this and many other things to women and definitely got away with it. I just feel like that wasn't as nice of a bow as I think that she was, to me, from my perspective, it wasn't as nice of a bow on it as what she was trying to be like, oh, look, the cops got him. So, you know, they're gone. They're done. Their lives are over. Because in real life, if we're going to talk about reality, men have gotten away with this before. So it just didn't feel like... I know, and I read what she was trying to get me to feel, but it still didn't feel that way because it was just not... Getting arrested is not the same as serving time and being convicted. And we know that especially white men with money can get away with things. So I don't know. The whole ending was just like, the more I sat there and thought about it, the worse it felt. Because I was just like, this is, it's like.
Well, they did find her body.
They what?
They did find her body.
Right, right, right. But I don't know. It was still left to like,
how would you have wanted to end then?
I don't know. I don't know what the right answer for this would be. But that whole situation just felt. I don't know. I don't know that there's like a right answer for that. But I know that like them having to face actual consequences was like part one. But like, because in real life, when people still face consequences, things are slippery and they might still get away with it. So it was just, that was my only issue with the movie. The rest of the movie was great. It was good. That was my only issue. And then one slightly other issue is that just like in general, like, okay, the movie was, and because it was such a good movie, I didn't think about it very much, but the movie was still arguably very white, right? Mm-hmm. And this is, I don't know, it just made me feel sad because I was like, if a young white woman can't get justice, then what hope is there for the rest of everybody else? For women of color, for trans women, for black women, for queer women, just women in general.
Right.
It just, I don't know, it seemed maybe a little bit too bleak.
See, I'm a sucker for bleak endings. Like, that sounds wrong. But I
agree with you.
I prefer the darker shit.
Yeah.
The silence brought to you by. Okay, so let's go over its nominations.
Okay,
so Best Picture, obviously. Actress Carey Mulligan.
Obviously.
Yes, my queen, of course.
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Arguably, no. I'd be like, she's at the top of the list for that one.
I lost my printout of all of the nominees, so I forget who else is nominated.
Viola Davis for Ma Rainey. Andra Day for Billie Holiday. Vanessa Kirby for Pieces, I keep wanting to call it Portrait of a Woman.
Pieces of a Woman.
Pieces of a Woman. Frances McDormand and Carey Mulligan.
Ooh, that's what do you think?
What?
Have you seen all of those?
No.
Oh,
okay. Well, she's my pick because I love her.
Best Director? Emerald.
Okay, so we were talking about this because it got Best Director and it got Best Original Screenplay. And so did Minari. And so I would be fine giving Best Director to Lee Isaac Chung if Emerald Fennell got Best Original Screenplay.
Yeah, that screenplay is, there's so much meat to it. And Minari is beautiful in its simplicity. And we'll get there when we talk about it. But I feel like, personally, I think there's so much to Emerald's script. And I read part of it. I have the link, I'll send it to you guys. It's so, the pictures that she's painting are fantastic. So I feel like that definitely, I think that's her chance to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
As much as I love her, I don't think she's going to win director. Just because it hasn't been in her favor as of late anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if it wins anything, hopefully it's actress and screenplay.
Yeah, I think the screenplay is the richest part of it. Mm-hmm. And for original screenplay, because there's not a lot of original screenplays. That's definitely one that sticks out, you know.
I'm for it.
Yeah.
So I'd be down with it getting original screenplay.
Judas was really good too. Yeah. So it was Sound of Metal. This is so hard.
We love a good year.
I still haven't read the Sound of Metal one.
Oh, it's great. I'll send you the link.
Okay.
Well, whenever we post episodes, I'll...
Crystal will link the script.
Yeah, I'll do.
You do that. script reading is so fun. It's like better than reading books. Well, I don't know. But it's pretty fucking great.
And I was like, excuse me?
I love books.
I love
books. But God, yes. I love words.
I just got myself a Kindle Paperwhite.
Paperwhite, yeah. That's what it's become.
Paperwhite?
It's Paperwhite.
What is that?
It's a Kindle. A reading.
So there's like no glare
on it. It's white paper.
Yeah, it's meant to look more like a book so that there's not glare.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Instead of the gray one?
Or Paperwhite, whatever. Or like compared to your screen on your phone, how there's
yeah.
Like
a
oh.
It's paper, so it looks like a piece of paper.
Oh, so it's matte.
Yes. And very happy. Game changer.
What are you reading right now?
Okay.
What book are you reading right now?
Right now, I saw this on TikTok. It's a book called The Inheritance Game, and it's a YA book. But it's supposed to be a mix of like Knives Out and The Westing Game, which are two things that I fucking love. The Westing Game was like my favorite book growing up. So if someone says some things like that, then I'm going to read it. And so far, it's pretty good. It's pretty interesting.
Okay.
The other night, I did stay up all night and read some dumb romance book.
Oh, you're such a nerd. I love
it. Oh my God, I just put a dumb romance book into my cart. I think I'm going to buy it today.
Which one? Tell me.
I'll send you the link.
Okay.
It's a period piece.
What did you say it?
Oh. I can't remember the name.
Oh, okay. So yes, we agree with original screenplay. What do you think about film editing?
Okay. Yeah.
Tell me what else is nominated, please.
The Father, Nomadland, Sound of Metal, The Trial of Chicago 7.
Okay, so here's my issue, and I haven't even seen all of these. But, like, some of these scenes... I'm interested to watch the two I haven't seen because I'm like, how when they're very like character centric, I don't know how those would.
I mean, we'll talk about it when we get there. But I did enjoy the editing in Trial of the Chicago 7. The cut between the action, like the protesting, and then the courtroom, I thought was really well done.
That's a hard one.
Here.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying here, I thought the film editing was great too. I would agree with Nomadland as well.
Yeah.
This is not really a good category for me to like.
Okay, that's fair enough.
It's too technical for me.
I mean, Promising Woman's editing was very interesting, but also Sound of Metal, like that.
Because the film editing played really well with the sound editing.
Yeah, and I think every technical thing about that movie, it was also a character. It was also a beat in the script and everything else. So I don't know. I kind of want to go to the Sound of Metal actually. But I don't know. Oh, I have two more to see on this list. So
I love having so many problems things because it's too good. Because it's finally so good. We don't like hate everything this year or are bored by it or disgusted.
Wait, there's not even like, normally there's like a dad movie and there's not even one in here, is there?
It's literally called The Father.
Someone called Da Baby?
Every time I see him, I'm like, Anna. Where he pops up on my Spotify, I'm like, Anna.
I was like, you see DaBaby a lot?
Yeah, he comes over work. It's my work every Thursday at 2:00.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tell him I said hi.
He knows Anna. Him and Anna hang out all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Couldn't pick him out from a lineup.
What?
I couldn't pick him out from a lineup.
That's okay. That's all right.
The one that looks like a baby.
He can pick you up, Anna.
Ooh.
Hey.
So ranking.
I've already got mine. Have you got yours? Okay,
me too.
Go, Crystal. Yeah,
go, Anna.
Damn it. Okay. Right now, it's Judas, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal.
This is probably going to change because that's how we are. For me, it's Promising Young Woman, Judas, and Sound of Metal.
Oh my God, they're all different. Mine is Judas and then Sound of Metal and then Promising Young Woman.
I mean, because Judas and Promising Young Woman are very close for me, so it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all three of them are really, really well made, really well done, well acted, well, just well.
Just well.
Just well. Well, like a well done steak.
No, it's a good year, and I love when there's not a obvious front runner. There's not an obvious winner in categories.
Runner, isn't it?
What?
Isn't Nomadland the obvious front runner? Because it's been winning
everyone else. I mean, like, probably for like us though.
Oh,
we have like a clear, like a clear pick. Also, yeah, Nomadland has won the most stuff, but still, it feels like, honestly, this year it feels like anything could happen. The stars are blind.
Also, Parasite won last year, so like, whatever. Honestly.
Really, honestly, anything can happen from now on.
And there's at least, hold on. Most of these, if they win, I'm okay with. There's very few that I'm like, meh. But most of them, I'm like, yeah, let's do this. I'm in.
That's pretty major.
So, yeah, that's we did a podcast, y'all. We did it.
Oh my God, look at us, like, regularly doing podcasts.
Who are we?
Like, I have 2 days off a week. What is this?
I'm so happy for you. You God, deserve that.
Fuck. Me too. Jesus. Anyway, no more of that.
Okay.
I think it's hungry.
Yeah, you're hungry. That's what it is.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Bye. Yeah? Are we done?
Yeah. Bye. I said bye. Bye.
Bye.